Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Lemon Snower podcast with me, Gary Jones. Now, I hope you've all had an absolutely cracking week and I've got something a little bit different to share with you today. Now, a couple of months ago, I was lucky enough to be invited onto another podcast and I wanted to share that interview with you today to give you a bit more of an insight into how I think, what my beliefs are and how I believe people should be able to just push on forward with what they love and what they enjoy. So this interview is with Rob Cameron and myself, and this is for his podcast, The Success Shapers Club. Now it's available on iTunes, Snitch and so many other platforms, and it's about 20 minutes long, so grab a coffee, grab a tea, grab a biscuit, let's take it away.
Hello and welcome. My name is Rob Cameron and this is the Success Shapers Club podcast. And today it's my great pleasure to welcome Gary Jones, the founder and driving force behind Leamington Hour. He's a creator, an educator and a networker. So grab yourself a drink, sit back and take a listen. Welcome, Gary. Thank you very much for agreeing to appear on the Success Shapers Club podcast.
No, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, great. Thank you. It's hard to believe that many people won't know who you are, but it's a bit colloquial, Warwick and Leamington. But for the sake of our listeners, will you please introduce yourself and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So thank you very much again for the opportunity. So my name's Gary. I'm the person behind Leamington Hour. And for people who don't know what Leamington Hour is, it's just simply a way of gathering people in an area that could be on Twitter, that could be Facebook, to face, it could be in workshops and just developing their skills. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what Leamington Hour is. Starts off a couple of years ago and we've now got, if I just list what Leamington Hour is, a quick list, you've got a networking hour on Twitter every week, you have face-to-face meetings every month, we've got a radio show on Radio Warwickshire, we've got a podcast which is on iTunes on different platforms, plus workshops and marketing help businesses, and it's just a start.
That's intriguing.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell us more about what's to come?
Well, the thing is, I'm one of these people I don't like to stand still. Yeah. I like to keep pushing forward. If I don't push forward, I feel like I'm not going anywhere. So I have loads of ideas, and we spoke before about implementing ideas.
Yeah.
And I've got too many ideas in my noggin that I can't get out. And I say it's just a start for Leamington Hour because my focus for this year is to develop as many people as possible. So I've already got someone who's set up another networking event in Coventry, which I'm helping her manage and develop her from there. I've got people working using workshops to be able to do that. And I've got a plan for the year, which is, it's big. I'm not going to disclose that just yet, but it is all about developing different people and spreading out and helping them achieve what they want to achieve. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and it's always great to hear somebody's got a plan for the year.
Yes.
And the fact that you've got so many ideas is fascinating. Now, that's one of the things that sort of attracted me and I really wanted to interview about is because obviously I think I've known you for about 3 years now, and that was off the back of the Leamington Hour Twitter. That was a Wednesday afternoon, and then you sort of were talking about your Leamington Hour Live, which was the live networking event, and then it sort of snowballed from there, and you'll grow Leamington, sort of website and blogs by various people contributing. And the thing that really struck out for me was that you're a person that makes so much stuff happen, and I'm aware that there's people have ideas that sit on their ideas and never do anything with them. So really, what really was interested in is what's your strategy? How do you go about taking all these ideas you have and actually making them work and doing something with them?
For Leamington Hour, for any idea, it starts with the initial point. Yeah. So initial point contact. Now for Leamington Hour, that was the networking hour on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I was getting probably 20 or 30 people involved with that every week. And I thought to myself, well, it makes sense. If we're meeting on Twitter online, I'm a very visual person. I like to talk to people face to face. Let's get them all in a room together and let's see what happens. So that's when the live events started. So for me, that was a generic, that was an evolution of that idea. And for me, every idea spawned out of a different idea. So from the networking events, I then thought, well, where else could I spread this? Well, we were on Twitter, we're meeting face to face, and there's a nice gathering, nice numbers appearing here. Well, not everyone can meet face to face, not everyone's going to be on Twitter, but some people write blogs.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I wanted a way of spreading that information and helping as many people as I can through Ableton. Now, I can't write blogs that well, and but other people can. So I had the idea that I could try to get people to contribute articles to me. I could call it Grow Leamington, because it's based in Leamington, and the articles will help the person who's writing it develop, because they'll be able to spread their work more. But actually, they'll also help the people connect with other people. And if you help someone through them reading your article, how cool is that? And you're helping that one person. So that's why I started. So it was all about having, again, the idea of, I wonder if someone would actually contribute to this. So I threw it out there on Twitter, threw it out on Facebook, and I got 5 people signed up within literally a couple of weeks. And when the first article came in, I laughed so loudly. I was actually in a pub in Warwick at the time, and an article came in, I was giddy as a school kid, because someone sent me this article, and that's when the work started. This guy said, okay, well, I now need to market it and get it out there. But again, it's all about developing people and having that initial idea, thinking, well, how can I spread it from there? Yeah. And everything I've done is just a succession of some encounters that's happened.
Okay, that's brilliant. Yeah, and what you sort of said there was that you've had the idea and you start putting things out there. And I know the conversation we were having prior to actually pressing record was talking about a workshop that you're in fact, an online Twitter course that you'll be launching, or you've already launched, where it was about you had the idea. You had the idea and you sort of almost acted on it straight away by putting it out there, so that it sort of, you're almost testing the market, is one way of looking at it, but actually doing something like that and moving forward with it, rather than just saying, oh, that's a great idea and sit on it. Well, so what's that like to be able to, you know, to be able to do that? How do you go about?
To be fair, it takes a bit of guts to be able to do it, because you're putting yourself out there. Anything you put on social media or online, you're putting yourself in a position where people could either criticise you or join up with you. So when I've got an idea, I've got to weigh up, first of all, well, actually, is it going to work? And the only way to real test it is to put it out there. Now, with the e-course that I've just set up, I had this an idea that I've been doing the workshops for about 5 months, and this is based on Twitter, just teaching people basic business skills. But not everyone can make it to the actual workshops, so the idea stems, well, if they can't make it to a workshop, can they do 10 minutes at home every week? Can they do 20 minutes? So therefore, can I split the workshop into different sections? And that's where the e-course kind of worn out. Now, I know if I didn't act on that idea, it would have gone. So I thought to myself, okay, well, I use MailChimp for my newsletters. You can create a sign-up sheet within a couple of minutes. Let's just create a sign-up sheet and just put it out there. And as soon as it was up, as soon as it was on the web, as soon as I made a little kind of fancy picture with some writing over it, it was out there. So it was literally just implementing it. At that point, did I know exactly what I was going to write in it? No. Did I have an idea of what was going to go into it in terms of the different sections? It came to me quite quickly after I put it out there. But if you don't act upon it, you lose it. And that's what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to lose the idea. And hey, if it doesn't work and no one signs up for it, that's fine. But at least if one person does it and that one person gets the opportunity to learn from it, I'm happy. I've done my job with that.
Brilliant. And it's quite interesting what you said there, because you spoke a little bit about judgment, and you know, I know from my own experience and a lot of people I've spoken to in the past, and even coach, that one of the biggest blocks for people moving forward and, you know, putting themselves out there, or, you know, sharing content, or, you know, putting ideas out, is this, you know, social thing of being judged and not wanting to be judged and wanting to be liked by everybody. So how do you go about sort of dealing with that innate, it's a very human threat. How do you deal with it?
I wouldn't say, I suppose I'm in a lucky position where either I don't hear the negative, or I choose to block it out very carefully, because the items that I put out tends to be more educational rather than kind of buy my stuff, so therefore the negative doesn't happen. I'm quite confident in the message that I'm sending out, and I think if I wasn't confident or was portraying the wrong message, it would hurt me, or the judgment would affect me more than it probably does. But I don't let it try to affect me. There's people who aren't going to like what I put out. There's going to be people who see me as competition. There's going to be people who might not go to my networking events because they're part of another networking event. And you know what? That's fine by me, because they're the kind of people who I wouldn't really want to work with. I'm lucky that I surround myself with people who are really cool and they get me. And yeah, if I didn't do that, it would affect me a lot more.
And I think that's really great what you've just said there, because again, I think it's a fairly human condition to want to be liked. But the fact that you're sort of aware that you have this, your tribe, those people that get you and resonate with you and you know, really understand what you're trying to do, and they're the people that you like to work with and attract. And accepting that you can't beat everybody is a really great place to be. So
there was one time when I did a networking event at Fargo Village in Coventry last year, where as an icebreaker I gave everyone a paper aeroplane. It was a folded A4 paper and they folded the lines with paper aeroplane. Now this was a free event and there was 70 odd people there of all different types, and we had people come to the event who hadn't been to any of my previous events, so didn't know what to expect. A couple of people looked at this paper aeroplane and just asked for, frankly, what the hand is this? I've come to a networking event, why are you giving me a paper aeroplane? Now I could go into the business reasons why actually it's a good icebreaker, or it's a good conversational starter, or actually with no instructions help can you build this paper aeroplane. I could have gone into all that, but they weren't the right type of people for that particular event. And have I seen them since? No. And that's, do you know what, that's okay with me. I'm at peace with that. But it's just funny that you attract the kind of people who you want to attract to. Yeah. It's the seven laws of attraction, that kind of thing. And some people just won't go to the events, some people won't go to the workshops. Hey, I'm happy with that.
That's pretty cool. That's brilliant. I'm sort of really aware of, for me, the great work you do in terms of bringing together people, bringing those sort of communities of like-minded people, and that's really powerful for me. We were also talking you do run workshops for people, and sort of how to use Twitter. You've got your own podcast, and you're teaching people how to about podcasting and get things out there. And you do that under a banner of, is it called Grow Marketing?
Everything I've done has kind of led me to the point of forming Grow Marketing and Media. So pretty much it's a marketing company which can help someone learn online, so learn social media skills. If you have got the time to do it yourself, brilliant. If not, then I know people who can help you with the social media management side of it. But at the same time, I'm teaching the people, I'm developing people through the workshops, stuff that I've learned organically, like creating a podcast. Many people listen to podcasts and think there's a lot of ins and outs in it, and the editing side is time consuming sometimes, but actually putting together a podcast can be quite simple. But you need to go through that process to understand that. For Twitter it's the same. A lot of people say to me, how do you create content for social media? So I've done a workshop all about creating content for social media. But that growing marketing media is accumulation of everything that I've done. It's all to do with the network events, it's all to do with Twitter, it's all to do with blogs, newsletters, podcasts, radio shows, and it's about then a company coming to me and saying, well, I need help with marketing, and then I've got the tools now to be able to give it to them.
Brilliant. And obviously education and helping people develop is the core to everything you do.
It's massively important.
Yeah, what's important to you about that?
It's all about seeing the change in the person. So they could come to me with really having a big want in terms of learning about Twitter. They've got a Twitter account or a Facebook account, but they don't know how to get the best out of it. And then over the workshop, you just see kind of light bulb sessions kind of click in, and you think, okay, that's fine. They're going to, and they've got that. They ask questions, and we work together to do that. Then a week later, we have a follow-up conversation, and I start to see them implementing what I do. Now, for ego, that's great anyway, but actually then, a month's time, they don't need that initial workshop because they've developed. And for me, that's the biggest point. One of my frustrations is holding the workshop, seeing change actually in the workshop, and then a month later, seeing no change in that person. That's frustrating. It is. But then that's just frustrating for me. I'm sure it's frustrating for them as well. But they have their reasons, and it's all good.
Yeah.
It is, it's all good. But no, for me, the development in them is key. It is. I get buzzed off it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I do like seeing the person change.
Yeah. And if, yeah, that's, you get a reward from it, and you get something for doing it. That is what most people do, whatever they do, if it's a passion or a hobby.
Exactly.
It's about the reward you get for doing it, and happiness, and the, you know, sort of almost the buzz of the hormones that you get released from doing it, that create that great feeling.
Yeah, and that's it. And all of the stuff I've been doing in the workshops is stuff I've learned myself over the last 2-3 years when I've been doing it. But actually, if I can then depart that knowledge onto someone and they don't have to spend 2-3 years doing it, they can learn it and fast track it, how cool is that?
It's really cool.
It's brilliant. I like that.
Yeah, it's ideal. You can save somebody the pain and torture and
exactly.
2-3 years.
We've all seen all the mistakes that I've made, because no one's perfect. I've made so many mistakes on social media. I've made so many mistakes on blogging. You have to go through those mistakes to actually find out what's good and what's positive.
Right? Yeah, and I think sometimes people lose that the sight of that. I'm aware of it again in myself, that there's a perfection driver can come in and thinking that everything has to be bang on perfect. And that is one of the biggest inhibitors of people getting out and creating, whether it's content or creating a business or creating their lifestyle, is this perfection driver.
Yeah. Actually, a very wise man called Todd from Scetti Agency said that one time there was you can't search for perfection.
Yeah.
And I know Todd, I heard him on your show, he said it was really cool. And it's dead right, you just can't do it. If you wait for the perfect post to go out on social media, you're going to be waiting for years. It's not going to be there.
Absolutely.
You might as well put some count that's 80%, and at least then it's out there, and then you can grow from that point.
And it's interesting, though, because one of the things, I'm an NLP trainer, one of the NLP beliefs of excellence, one of the core beliefs that help people to really get it, is there's no such thing as failure, only feedback and learning. So any event that doesn't go as well as you wanted it to go, you take the learning from it and say, well, what can you do, what can you improve next time, what can I do differently? But it's when you pin it as a failure that you lose the opportunity to learn and grow from it.
I was listening to an audiobook a couple of weeks ago. I think it was How to Become a Networking Marketing Pro from Eric
Morris.
That's it. And he basically says that, you know, his whole fundamental mindset changed when he stopped working in positives and negatives and went just to learning experiences. And he tried to have as many learning experiences as possible. And that's so true.
That's it, right? The more experiences you have, the more experience you've got, isn't it?
Exactly.
And there can be things where it's gone where you wanted to go, or things where it didn't go quite as you wanted to go, but often they're the better learning experiences, because you have an opportunity to then go go and try something different or do something different.
Yeah, exactly. No, completely agree.
Yeah. So thank you for that, Gary. So if I was to sort of, the question I'm asking my guests is, if you were to identify maybe two or three things that you feel of your personal attributes or the way you approach life is, the two or three things that have led to you getting where you are and the success you've had, what would you say those three things are?
Okay, so the first one is probably don't be afraid to do something because of other people's opinions. Just if you've got a belief or a passion and you want to do something, you've got to do it. And that could be setting up an account somewhere, that could be, hey, in a non-business sense, completing a long-distance cycle, it could be a triathlon, whatever it could be. Don't be afraid to do it just because of what people are going to say. So I think that's number one. For me, number two would be, if you've got an idea, just do it. Just do it. And hey, as we've said in the interview, it might work, it might not work, but you'll learn from it and you'll gain experience from it. So if you've got an idea, do it. Number three, don't know, I'm struggling with number three. Do what you're passionate about, I suppose. Yeah, you know, I'm passionate about helping people, that's my why. Everyone has got different kind of time constraints on what they can do. So until I find a way that helps everybody, I'm not going to stop. But do you know what? It's a good journey to be on, and I'm passionate about that. So it doesn't feel like I'm spending the time doing it.
That's cool. Three really good ones there.
Cool.
So, Gary, if people want to know more about you or want to get in touch and find out more about how you can help them or the educational opportunities that are available, where will they find out about you?
Right, at the moment, if you go to the website www.lemontonhour.co.uk, then pretty much you'll be able to find all the information about the Twitter workshops, the e-course, the actual Twitter Hour, and it's got links to my events as well. I've put a couple of blogs on there each week regarding the events and kind of hints and tips about social media and networking, and you'll also find information about the new groups that we're setting up in Coventry and Stratford Study Hall, which are going to be opening this year as well. So that's probably going to be the easiest way. On social media, check me out on LinkedIn under Gary Jones, I'm the bald-headed one, and on Twitter, check out Leamington Hour, Gary J83, Facebook, again, Leamington Hour, Gary Jones.
Thank you very much for your time, Gary.
No, thank you.
We'll see you soon. Speak again soon.
Cheers, Rob.
The biggest takeout for me from the interview with Gary was about taking action. Gary mentioned about having a lot of ideas, and now he has grown Leamington Hour and its offerings from initially the idea of a Twitter hour. And the thing that strikes me is that I know for myself and from other people that I talk to that it's great having knowledge, it's great having ideas, but unless you actually do something with them, take action and implement, then they're as good as nothing. They aren't actually worth anything while they're still things in your head. And also the thing that came for me from Gary's interview was how by taking an initial idea and taking action on it, things have grown from there, things have developed from there, which have enabled Gary to make a much bigger offering in the way he helps people, the way he educates people. And that has helped Leamington Hour grow as an organisation, as a place where people want to be involved. And I'm reminded of the saying that from small acorns, mighty oaks do grow. And just imagine what might be different for you if you start taking action on your ideas, and knowing that once you take action, there is opportunities for you to learn, develop and grow, and to build a bigger offering, build more successful offerings, and to do more things based on the background of those ideas. So that's it for today. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to welcoming you on the next Success Shapers Club podcast.
Thank you so much, Rob, for inviting me onto your podcast. And remember, please check out the other interviews that he's done on his Success Shapers Club, because they are really inspirational people, and really just check it out. He's got so many good stories on there and so many personal experiences. You need that podcast in your life. And the beauty is, obviously, on iTunes and other platforms, you can subscribe, so therefore you get them automatically downloaded onto your device, so you can listen to it whenever you want. It's so easy. Thank you, Rob. Now, please check out my radio show on Radio Warwickshire every Monday and Wednesday. Have a great week, everyone, and I will see you next time. Have a great one.